Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. And today I'm speaking with Robin Eaves. He's the CEO of Clean Coal Technologies. The stock symbol is CCTC, trading over the counter. Robin, welcome.
Good afternoon, Jack, and thank you very much for having me on.
Absolutely. Let's start off with a snapshot of what your company does.
Yeah, well, this is a very, very positive time for CCTI, our technologies, and all our investors. Global coal demand is up, prices are up, coal is here to stay. Certainly is a major contributor to the global energy state. Contrary to popular opinion, all the major consuming countries, China, India, Taiwan, South Korea, Germany, if you want to name them, are all increasing their use of coal. And the producing nations, the U.S., Russia, Indonesia, South Africa, etc., are really going to benefit if they can produce more efficient and economically viable coal, which can contribute to the world using coal in a more responsible way. The challenge is how to use coal responsibly, more efficiently, while still keeping it economically viable. CCTI, our company, has that solution. And with a multi-billion dollar global coal market, we're ideally placed to capitalize on it with our three globally patented technologies.
And so let's get into what your technologies do.
Yeah. Okay. Our main technology, which is causing most of the excitement at the moment, is Pristine M. This technology can take lower rank coals and increase the BT values so that consumers can burn less coal, producing more efficient and cost-effective energy. This technology also, and very importantly, produces a dust-free end product. That's making it environmentally friendly to transport across countries and into ports. Dust is a major issue, especially for the environmentally arguments against coal. Our technology completely eliminates that argument. Our technologies overall will add to the sustainability of coal for many, many years to come. And we believe we are the market leader in coal technologies.
So what's the value proposition for a customer using your technology? What's the kind of the bottom line for them in dollar terms?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me give you an example of how compelling the economics really are. I will take Powder River Basin coal, an example. This coal at the mine mouth is $12 a ton for 8,500 to 8,800 BTU coal. This is low ash and low sulfur. The cost to upgrade this coal using our technology to produce roughly 11,500 BTU coal is about $7 per ton. So our technology can produce low ash, low sulfur, 11,500 BTU coal for under $20 a ton. To put this in context, the Uinta Basin Utah coal, which is comparable sulfur and ash, trades at just over $40 a ton at mine mouth. Central Appalachian high sulfur met coal is trading at over $70 a ton. So you take PRB coal, we can produce it at $20 a ton. The Uinta Utah coal is going at $40 a ton. Central Appalachian at $70 a ton. So there's incredible arbitrage here. However, with the current improvements resulting from year-long study by the University of Wyoming, which is a world-renowned energy research department, we're confident of obtaining even more efficient results with PRB coal, making it potentially one of the most sought-after coals in the global export markets.
Now, so essentially, somebody using your technology, essentially they're kind of doubling their money or getting, quality coal at half the market price. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, the value sort of proposition, the ROI really depends on the coal and geographical area. But it ranges from about 25 to up to 45% on the ROI. So it is very compelling for the coal user.
Okay. Now, tell us about this is a patented technology. Maybe you can kind of get into what the patent position for the company is.
Yeah, we have global patents. They're prosecuted by one of the best patent attorneys, probably globally, Nixon van der Heijden out of Washington. They've been prosecuting our patents since 2007. We're protected in virtually every single consuming and producing nation around the world.
Okay, and what exactly? So, essentially, what is the tech? What is the product that the company is selling? You're licensing the technology, but what exactly is it machinery? What exactly is this?
Yeah, it's a plant, basically. Yes, it's machinery. So what we would do, and we've already built the plant. We had it based out in Oklahoma, where we fully validated the technology. It's now been moved up to Wyoming, where it's being reassembled right now, ready to test foreign coals. But yes, it's the one here we have is 3 tons per hour. Our commercial module. It's 30 tons per hour. And so if you want 1 million tons, you build 6 30-ton modules.
And so what's the business model? You license the technology, or will you be selling these plants?
No, our basic business model, which I think for the point of this conversation is what we should stick to, which is licensing and royalty. Basically, CCTI is paid by the client, whether it be a miner, power steel company, whoever that might be, $1 million for 1 million ton of capacity. Now, anyone that takes 1 million tons of capacity is highly likely to be able to use 5 to 10 million tons of capacity. So, although we initially based on 1 million, one can assume that any client is going to be upping that to the maximum they can put on their site, which can be up to 5 or 10 million tons. The royalty is $3 a ton for every ton on an outturn basis. So, say for instance, next year we're projecting maybe 6 technology licenses, which will give us a revenue of 6 million tons. We don't expect the commercial production to kick in until 2020. However, with the number of NDAs and MOUs we've currently got under negotiations, we expect to see a minimum 6 technology license agreements next year, and those will turn into the royalty of $3 a ton, which will kick in 2020. So, 6 million tons of capacity would probably produce around 5 million tons of outturn coal. So, on the 2019 projections, you're going to be producing probably a minimum of 18 million in royalties in 2020 and going forward. And these agreements are usually 20 to 25 years. So it's kind of like an annuity. And as each year we sign more technology license agreements, of course, we increase the royalties going forward.
Okay, so the company up till now, it's been a R&D company. So you're just getting into the commercialization stage in right now in 2018. Is that clear?
Correct. What? Correct. We're a pre-revenue company, essentially. We did sign one small technology license agreement a while back with one of the major Indian steel companies, Jindal. However, for all intents and purposes, pre-revenue. We'll be pre-revenue through the end of 2018, and then we fully expect revenues to start coming in form of license agreements probably by the second quarter of 2019.
Okay, so next year, you said you expect to see at least 6 of these licensing deals worth $1 million each, and that's a upfront payment, is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. Now, we do have one situation which could skew these projections to the upside. Indonesia, which is one of the largest coal-producing countries in the world and users of coal, they have their presidential elections next year. And one of our largest initial investors has put many million dollars into our company and technology as a huge believer of our technology. Stands to either be the Minister of Industry or the Vice President. So I think the company and our shareholders can expect very exciting times in Jakarta next year, as that is one of the countries that desperately needs our technology.
Now it seems like so you're already in India. It's is that kind of your focus? Asia, South, India, China, Indonesia, that part of the world?
Yes, on consuming side, I think it's fair to say India, South Korea, China, possibly Taiwan, Japan are the main focuses, India being the preeminent one right now. And on the producing side, certainly it's Indonesia, United States, and Australia. Those are our main focuses.
Okay, so let's get into those licensing deals again. So essentially, you license a million tons capacity.
Yeah.
That's a million up front, and then there is $3 per ton.
$3 royalty, per outturn ton, yes.
And that's on an ongoing basis?
Ongoing for about 20, 25 years, depending on the length of the technology license agreement, yes.
And how many tons do you foresee your average licensee producing?
A difficult question, but depending on the size of the mine, in our initial talks, let's take Jindal, for example, who we signed a technology license agreement with for 1 million tons now. They fully expect to ramp that up to about 7 million tons over the next 2 to 3 years once they start producing our treated coal. Some of the mines here in the United States, the smaller ones will probably want to do 1 or 2 million tons. Some are quite capable of having 5, 10 million tons. China, for instance, about 4 or 5 years ago when we were out there, and this is to the other extreme, they wanted to build an 82 million ton facility.
Oh, those are some big numbers.
Let's
can you tell us about your background and some of the key members of the management team?
Oh, yes, certainly. My background is in energy. I was global energy, primarily in oil. All over the world, certainly India, Far East, Indonesia, Middle East, South America. I know the global energy markets extremely well. I started to look at coal in the early 2000s when most of the big trading companies, Cargill, who has Enron, Glencore, Trafigura, Koch Brothers, you name them, they all were going into coal. And so got interested in coal then. Discovered this small technology in 2010 and was lucky enough to be offered the CEO position. We took it over and, it's taken a long time to get the technology to where it was, a lot longer than I ever thought, but we've learned an awful lot along the way because of all the other failed technologies. We've learned from them, and that is why we now have what we believe is a global leading technology. Our COO and CFO, Aidan Neary, he has come from the investment banking world, also has had experience all over the world and worked in many of these countries, which really is a huge advantage for us right now because we understand the cultures, we understand the need, we can quickly assess the economics and the basic energy needs of these countries. And we appreciate the huge, huge potential and growth potential in countries like India and China, certainly, for the increase in the use of coal, which is the most abundant and cheapest form of fuel in the world.
Now, you touched on the history of the company. Can you kind of give us a quick snapshot of the history of the company up till now?
Yeah, I think really go back. I mean, I can't really speak too much before I joined. I mean, the company went public in 2007. Have one technology, and it really didn't get too much traction. I mean, it was based here in the United States, and that was when I took over. We certainly felt the problems of the backlash against coal. However, we when I joined the company, we had one technology that was pristine. It was basically a technology that would clean coal, it would dry coal, it would do everything to coal, but it was very expensive. And we were out in India, actually. They said to us, we've got to devise new technologies which are going to be cheaper and more efficient and quicker to the market. And we came up with Pristine M, which they say has now been, it's now probably, without doubt, actually, the cheapest technology, dehydration technology, and the most efficient on the market. So it's been a long haul for the company. It's 10 years in the making, but we've arrived with a product or a technology at the right time in the right place, in the right market, with the right fundamentals in place. So the company is very, very well positioned now to capitalize on this very, very significant market.
Now, what about the competition in the market? Is there any kind of competition for this type of technology?
There really isn't for what our particular technology does and the way it does it. I mean, it certainly is a modular technology as opposed to a non-modular. By that, our technology, as they say, our commercial module is 30 tons per hour. So it's a very small scale up from the test module, which is 3 tons per hour. 10-to-1 scale up is nothing for engineers. Whereas opposed to the other technologies that really didn't perform up to what they're expected to, they were going from 2-to-3 tons per hour straight up to 1 million tons with all the associated technology and financial risks. So from our point of view and from the global point of view, there is no technology that competes with us on a pound-for-pound basis. And also in the last 2 or 3 years, so much of the investment dollars, if not 99% of it, have been focused on carbon capture, which I think everyone is finally agreeing is a long way off at best, and if not a pipe dream at worst. And many billions of dollars have been lost there. And so people are coming back to look at the more conventional and price-sensitive and economically viable technologies. And that's where they come back to us. And you know, more recently, we've been approached by the Australian government. And as I say, we met very recently with the Indian government in India. And we're going to have very, very strong contacts now in the Indonesian government, all of which are embracing our technology because they need it.
Now, what does the company's financial structure look like today, and what are your capital needs going forward into next year? Once you expect those revenues to kick in, the licensing revenues.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as a pre-revenue company, we always run the company as a very, very tight financial ship because you want to keep debt to a minimum on the books. We have very little debt on the books. Most of our investment comes now from one company, Black Diamond, who put in probably around $11-12 million, all in convertible equity. So financially we're in reasonably good shape, but always, you know, when you're as a pre-revenue and a technology development company, you're always looking for competitive financing. We're talking to an Indian corporation that is very keen to invest in the company, and we hope maybe to close something with them in the next 30 to 60 days. And then we're talking to a couple of equity and debt people here in the United States. So we feel we'll be amply covered until we get to the revenue in the second quarter of next year.
Now, what's your vision for the company over the next 2-3 years? I mean, what will clean coal technologies look like, 2-3 years from now?
Assuming everything goes well, exactly. Well, with oil prices continuing to rise, with electric cars continuing to be pushed around the world, which we must remember, where does that electricity come from? That comes from coal, and wants to come from clean coal, which our technology can really help with. So in the next year, why it's very good that we're talking right now, because this is the point right now where we leave the development stage, the risk stage, and we go into the commercial production stage in the early parts of next year. It's kind of binary in the sense that once you have one piece of technology out there and working, say it's in Indonesia, virtually every miner out there in Indonesia has to have the technology to compete with the ones that have it. And that is the same here in the United States, in the PRB, in Australia, where everyone else. So potential, you know, when we say we're looking at 6 million licenses next year, it could well be 12. You know, we just don't know, but we're being conservative right now, because once one mine, one steel company takes it, then everyone basically has to take it. So we, in the next, say, 2 to 3 years, could have very, very significant revenues from licensing and then from the royalties that kick in. Our immediate aim next year, once we have revenues coming in, is to look to uplist the company onto a major exchange here in the United States, either New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ. We've already been very, very quietly making inquiries about this and position the company. You know, Aiden's done a tremendous job in cleaning the balance sheet up, getting rid of debt. So the next move, hopefully later on next year, will be to uplist the company. And that will be a huge step forward for us. And once we're on the major exchanges, it opens up a lot of avenues, whether it be for us to start buying some of the more distressed coal mines and becoming a producer of clean coal ourselves. It opens up the possibility that we can put together global alliances with some of the major corporations. And I think finally, you know, it does open up the possibility that a major corporation would buy us out in the next 2 or 3 years.
Now, what about what are some of the key milestones, you know, that over the next 12 months that investors should keep their eye on? Like, what kind of news flow can investors expect?
Okay, I think that's a good question. I think the first and foremost is for the reassembly of the plant with all the upgrades suggested by the University of Wyoming. This should be completed by the first quarter of next year, Q1 2019. We have already 500-ton parcels of foreign coal from India and Indonesia already on their way here to the United States, which will be headed to the industrial park outside Wyoming where our technology is, ready to be tested. That should start to happen in 2Q next year. Hopefully, it might even be in Q1, but we're being conservative, say Q2. So once they're tested, then providing everything goes well, you know, we always had the proviso, you know, we're very confident, but we still got to show the client that their specific coal is treated perfectly by this technology. Once that's done, then by 2Q next year, we expect to be signing the first licensing agreements. Once you sign the first license agreements, then you'll see the first commercial modules starting to be built. The technology and all the EPC contracting should be started by Q2, Q3 next year, and the construction started. So by Q4 next year, we should be very near to completing our first commercial module.
Okay, now let's maybe summarize. In your opinion, you know, what are the key value drivers that investors should take into account when considering your stock? And you know, why should they buy your stock today? I guess is the real question.
Well, you have a multi billion dollar coal market. The sustainability of coal is going to be a good marriage with technology. Coal, however much demand is of coal, however much it's increasing, how much price increasing, it still needs to be made a more efficient and responsible fuel. And all the governments know that, the government leaders know it, and technology is the answer to that. We have that technology. We can clean coal, we can dry it, and in fact, on a third basis, we can even access all the valuable byproducts out of coal, from carbon to water to asphalt to coal to liquids, oil, water, and we can access all that. So from an investor's point of view, I'd be looking there and saying, here's this massive coal market, but it needs a technology. Where and who has those technologies? Because whoever have, if they're right, it's a multi-billion dollar proposition. And right now, if they look through the market and identify those companies, they'll find that the one that's leading the way at the moment is Clean Coal Technologies, Inc.
Okay. Well, on that note, I want to thank you for joining us today. And We look forward to following the company in the months ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much.